Hi, and welcome to this special edition of Here Now the News. I'm Jerry Barmash. In this episode, we recap the final debate with my guest, American University professor Alan Lichtman, who has successfully picked the president since 1984. The mics were muted, and so was President Trump, but he had his moments. Unfortunately for him, so did Joe Biden, who it appeared did enough to win the night, as he had more direct responses to questions from moderator Kristen Welker. And now it's down the stretch for the candidates, with Biden holding on average a 10-point lead nationally. Was it enough to make a dent in the electorate, those who haven't voted yet? Alan Lichtman says not likely. My interview with Alan, recorded moments after the debate, is next. What is your feeling of what you saw in this final debate tonight?
It was a vastly better debate than we saw the last time, in part because the moderator was so much better, in part because the mics were muted, and in part because Donald Trump finally took the advice of his handlers and toned it down. He didn't interrupt. He didn't come across as hot and as arrogant as bullying. So both sides had a chance to get their points out. I don't think substantively you heard anything different than you heard the first time, but at least you could hear it this time a lot more clearly.
Yeah, I think that's the case. A lot of the same, obviously same subjects, same topics, COVID and the like. And this time it was, you know, you could get through the morass, if you will.
Correct.
Do you think, so you don't think it made a difference? Do you think that either of them, let's start with the president, considering how he performed the last time out. Do you think that he was able to, you know, get in any hits on the vice
president? Yeah, I thought he was much better. He got in a few hits. I thought he got in a pretty good hit about the crime bill. And I thought generally he got in a pretty good hit about Biden being a long-term professional career politician who's been around for so many years, who hasn't really accomplished that much. You know, I'm not the career politician. I ran because of your failures. I thought those couple of hits were pretty good. What I thought was a terrible miss and really hurt the president were these scurrilous attacks on Biden as being corrupt. You know, using all of this misinformation, these lies, you took all this money from Russia, you took all this money from China. It was a lot of nonsense, and voters don't like those kinds of unsubstantiated, vicious personal attacks.
I know he referred to himself as Lincoln
for what he did. Yeah, that was absurd. You know, I've done more for black people than Lincoln.
Right.
You know, ridiculous. Lyndon Johnson passed the Voting Rights Act of 1964, excuse me, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. So to argue that he's done more for black people than anyone since Lincoln is utterly absurd on its face. Just as saying, I'm the least racist person anyone can imagine, when he is absolutely known for his racist, divisive rhetoric, even retweeting all kinds of racist memes, including that fellow on the golf cart, very audibly shouting white power. It's right. Absurd.
And I think that Biden, he took him to task at a lot of these issues. They didn't just go away. He took, you know, where there were opportunities, he seemed to go after him on those.
This was the best I've seen Donald Trump. It was also by far the best I've seen Joe Biden. And while Donald Trump did make some good scores, I think Joe Biden scored him harder on things that the American people care about. He hit him very hard, and Trump had no response on the coronavirus. And he hit him really hard on the fact that if you get rid of Obamacare like you're trying to do, 20 million people will lose their insurance, and over 100 million people will lose their protections on pre-existing conditions, including people who get COVID. And Trump had no response. He just kept saying, we're going to have a beautiful healthcare plan. And as Biden said, you've been promising that in 2 weeks for 4 years, and we've never seen it. And I thought Trump was atrocious on the separation of the children and the fact that 545 children have never been reunited with their parents, deflecting blame to coyotes when, as
right.
Biden pointed out, no, these are kids who once had
parents. That was what I was talking about before, yeah.
Yeah, and you can't separate them. And finally, as a general matter, I thought Biden scored pretty well on partisanship. You know, Trump kept, you know, talking about all these blue states, all these Democratic governors, And Biden, I think, was very effective in saying, look, I'm not dividing the country into red and blue. I'm going to be the president of all Americans. I thought that was pretty effective. So, you know, if Trump needed to land some big blow on Biden or get Biden to make the colossal mistake, that certainly did not happen. Biden at least held his own, and I thought on issues that mattered, came out on top.
And when you said about the blue states and the red states, that was also referenced at the beginning with the coronavirus, where the president referenced the different states that are run by Democrats, and that in effect that's why there are problems.
That's a complete lie, of course. Big spikes are now coming, frankly, in the Midwest and the mountain states, not in the urban Democratic states. And the truth is, it's a national problem. It's really soaring everywhere. And to blame it on blue states is utterly irresponsible. You know, deaths are deaths, no matter whether they're blue or red. We all bleed red.
Yeah. And I think that, again, Biden went after him on that. And he, as you said, brought up the fact that it's in the Midwest right now. And it's, you know, it's in the states that are, if you want to say Republican, that they're Republican run. So it showed that it was, you know, if not a lie, it was certainly something that I think a lot of people, if they're not aware of, they certainly got a better sense that this is not a reason to be politicized.
Absolutely right. And I think, you know, Biden was especially effective, as he was in the first debate, looking straight at the camera, talking to the American people, and talking about things that really mattered to them. You didn't see Trump matching that at all. And I thought Trump, you know, when they asked him what your inaugural address would be, and he spent half of it attacking Obama, what kind of inaugural address is that?
Right. But again, it was, I think a lot of the base, the Republicans, they'll come away, and I think they already are, they will be happy with what
they will be happy, because it was so much better than the first time. But the problem for Trump is you can't win with his base.
Right. He has to expand. And, you know, and coming in nationally, he's down upwards of 10 points. And obviously in many, if not all of the battlegrounds, he's trailing. And even in some, you know, many other spots, you know, there's the Texas is now.
It's in play.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting lighter.
Georgia's in play. Iowa's in play.
Right. So, you know, taking away the battleground, the major battlegrounds, the Ohio's, the Michigan's, and Pennsylvania, Florida, you've got others that would never have been in play, as we said, Texas and Georgia, Iowa. So he's in a tough, tough spot to where he would have to make up that much ground.
I don't see him making up any ground here. Yes, he may shore up his base. He may move the needle a point or two, but the dynamics of the race did not change. Trump did much better than he did the first time, but so did Biden. And he didn't land, you know, any kind of a devastating blow on Biden. And Biden did not wilt. He did not make any gaffes. So I think the people who'll be happy about Trump are the people who are already behind Trump. What also baffles me, I have to tell you, why are people undecided at this point? You don't know enough about Donald Trump, who you've been watching since 2015. You don't know enough about Joe Biden, who's been around for God knows how many decades. What it is you're waiting to hear and learn. That really does, you know, confuse me.
Well, what is it? I mean, you're an expert on this. You've been dealing with presidential elections for decades. Why is it always people will wait until the very last moment?
It's much smaller this time than it typically is, because these two, you know, are really so well known. I think it's what we call in social science cross pressure. That is, there are a few undecideds who lean Republican, like Donald Trump's policies, but abhor Donald Trump. And on the other hand, you may have people who like Joe Biden, but are wary about some of Joe Biden's policies. That little niche, I think, is where you find this tiny percentage of undecided voters. But typically, undecided voters break for the challenger. That happened in 2016 when they broke for the challenger, Donald Trump. Let's not forget the dynamics of elections are very different when you are the challenger versus when you are the incumbent.
More of my debate night conversation with Professor Alan Lichtman is ahead, including what he expects from Trump leading up to Election Day. We have a question here on one of the comments. Daz the Truth says, what's your biggest takeaway from the debate?
The biggest takeaway was nothing changed. You know, I don't see the trajectory of this race altering. Trump's backers can say, wow, he was so much better than he was last time. Biden's backers can say he took every blow that Trump delivered and responded in kind and maybe even more strongly.
What can Trump do now? I mean, again, there's going to be 11 days left by the time he wakes up in the morning.
Not only are there 11 days yet, but they're going to be upwards of 50 million ballots already cast. Right. We may have close to 100 million ballots cast by Election Day. And so far, those votes overwhelmingly favor Biden. I think you're going to see a different president after this debate. You're not going to see this toned down Donald Trump. You're going to see the vicious Donald Trump going after Joe Biden on all these phony and baseless charges of corruption, of taking money from China and Russia. That's the Trump I think you're going to see in the next 11 days. And that was foreshadowed by that incredibly bizarre inaugural address. Whoever heard of an inaugural address where you spend half of your time going after a president from 4 or 5 years ago?
That's true. Do you think that the Hunter Biden, which was brought up again tonight, the Hunter Biden issue, Ukraine, do you think any of that, hit? You know, was
no, I don't think that hits any more than Trump having a Chinese bank account and paying taxes to China hits. People at this point don't really care about that. The country's in crisis and they care about how we're going to deal with these crises.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. And it's interesting. I mean, even when we get to the questions of climate change, obviously a serious question, but we are in a pandemic and you know, it you can even get more of the pandemic questions. But, you know, there's the racial issues that we didn't talk, I don't think, about the Supreme Court tonight.
Not at all. And that was a little bit surprising. But, you know, when Trump was asked about systematic racism and what he would say to, you know, young Black people who fear the police, he didn't answer that. He just talked about all the wonderful things he had done for Black people. Biden directly addressed those Black people who are worried about how they're treated in this country. Trump never dealt with that, never showed an ounce of empathy towards people who do live in fear.
What did you think? I noticed one time when Biden went after Trump, I think Trump was referencing was about the socializing medicine. Socialized medicine. And he was referring to Bernie Sanders and maybe another candidate. And then he had said something along the lines back to Trump. He's a very confused guy. Something like he doesn't know who he's running.
Thought that was very good. You know, you're not running against Bernie Sanders. You're running against Joe Biden. And it's the Biden plan, not the Sanders plan. And it's not socialized medicine. It's not even close to socialized medicine. And it's not taking away anyone's private health insurance who has it now. It just gives people another option. And I thought that was pretty effective. But I thought the critical thing on healthcare was there's no plan. Right. Zero. And Trump has had 4 years and Republicans have had 10 years to come up with a plan. No plan.
Yeah.
You know, Trump bloviates about protecting existing people with existing conditions, but there's no plan to do it.
Yeah, we've seen that theme that's come up before. The same person asked, what do you say to the 1% that is still undecided? We kind of alluded to that before.
I don't think this would particularly move them one way or another, and 1% is not going to change the trajectory of this race anyway. And typically, and this election is anything but typical, but typically undecideds do break for the challenger, because if you don't support the president after watching him for 3.5 years plus, it's hard to imagine what suddenly is going to make you change your mind about the president.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, the bar, we've heard this before about the president, the bar was extremely low after what happened 3 weeks ago. So the fact that he and it was enhanced because he couldn't interrupt. They couldn't have the chaos. So he had to, you know, in effect, put his hands on his, you know, if he was sitting down, sit on his hands and just deal with it. So in that regard, he had to be more professional. And dare I say,
and he was, no question about it.
And he handled
day.
Yeah. he handled it just fine. But again, the bar is, you know, is much lower, and he succeeded in that regard.
From there's also what was a low bar for Biden, you know, Sleepy Joe, inarticulate, you know, can't sustain himself, makes gaffes. He didn't do any of that. I thought it was the best I've seen Biden. You know, he held himself very, very well. So both of them certainly hurdled their low bars by a wide margin.
And so what do we have to look forward to now in these final days for Biden?
Well, I think you're going to see more of the same for Biden. And I do think Trump's going to go back to his attack mode. That's where he is most comfortable. He kept it down to some extent, but there were all kinds of scurrilous attacks that we talked about based on lies that Donald Trump leveled against Joe Biden. It was just shameful. I mean, a president shouldn't be doing that. And I think he's going to harp on that in the next 11 days.
So you think even though there's no more, and again, so many people have voted, there's no more debates, but you think he's going to go really hard now?
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be the attack, 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 because that's where he's most comfortable. He can control himself for an hour and a half. He can't control himself for 11 days.
So there's nothing left. He can throw it all against the wall.
That's what he's going to do. He's going to get very, very desperate.
Someone asked, what do you think about, well, we talked about this, the cheating or the foreign interference or Republicans using rules to give the election to Trump.
Yeah, I think what the Republicans are doing is shameful, filing lawsuits all over the country to make it harder to vote, harder to count the vote, leveling totally false charges against mail-in voting, slowing down the post office, calling on intimidators to flood the polls. I just hope we do have a full and fair vote, but it does keep me awake at night and it does worry me.
Yeah, and that was touched on because of the press conference, the FBI and the...
Yes.
They had just yesterday, right? Yeah, just last night.
That was good points for Biden, who said, I'm going to make these people pay. And I didn't hear much of a response on that from Trump.
My thanks to Professor Lichtman for joining me on short notice. I'll be back with another episode Monday. Dove Hykind, a former longtime lawmaker from Brooklyn, who is highly critical of Governor Andrew Cuomo for targeting Jewish neighborhoods as part of a COVID crackdown. If you haven't yet, please subscribe and tell your friends about the podcast. Leave a review and rating as well. You can also help us grow with a listener donation. Of course, comments are appreciated. You can email me at hearnowthenewsjb@gmail.com. Find me on Twitter at Jerry Barmash, Facebook, Hear Now the News with Jerry Barmash. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening to Hear Now the News. I'm Jerry Barmash.